This is a true story.
To find out what happens.
What happens? When people stop being polite.
Start getting.
I want to welcome everybody to another episode of The Rel World. And I got some of my nearest and dearest friends in the building. I got my main man sitting right next to me.
Yo, what's going on?
I need a little more energy from you today, my brother.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Thank you. I got my man Jeremy behind the boards.
Yes, sir.
And we ready to get ready to have another fun episode for y'all. But I wanted to start off this week on a little somber note. I wanted to say rest in peace to both Nichelle Nichols and Bill Russell. Many people are super familiar with like the first sort of interracial on-screen kiss between her and William Shatner. That was a huge deal for Star Trek. Sucks that had to be something that's like super momentous and changed the times and how we looked at things going forward. Because of her, they have a lot more freedom in terms of expression and how they do art. So I wanted to give a huge shout out to her. Bill Russell, as a avid basketball player, is somebody I've heard about all of my life. Super, super, super sad to see something like that happen to our icons in 2022. I think specifically of Bill Russell being the first person who frankly led a player boycott and prevented his team from playing in a game because of some of the things that they were subjected to on a road game trip. So you may or not be familiar with Bob Cousy, some of my listeners. We talk about him as a basketball player and being one of the 50 greatest and I believe 75 greatest players of all time. He said that one of his life's biggest regrets was not taking part in that same thing and playing in that game. So knowing that Bill got back on a flight and going home, how he set, I believe, three people away from MLK during the March on Washington, how he visited with, Muhammad Ali during the Civil Rights era in his protest and justice to not go to war for Vietnam. There are a ton of different things that this man has done that have been super impactful to Black people. So I wanted to start this episode by shouting out both of them.
Yep, rest in peace.
All right.
Yo, my guy is also like the ring bearer, right? Like my guy also is like just on both hands stacked up, caked up on everywhere.
Yeah, just
champion,
like that.
Champion.
You know.
Like a momentous figure of the league. Like
he recently sold some of that stuff and I'm not sure, you know, what the circumstances are that led him to do that. But Shaq was the one that said, I'm buying them all. And given the fact that Shaq has that kind of money, I'm pretty sure he bought them all.
Oh, he bought those, right?
Yeah, he was just like, yo, I want those. I'm gonna put a bid on that. I'm gonna make sure I get that. And Shaq has real money, so I'm pretty sure he got that.
I think it's crazy because we look at players like that and there's so few video. Like we can see more summer league video of what people are doing in the gym than we can see of what some of these guys did on the court throughout their career, right? And so I think that for a lot of them, like they just don't get the respect because nobody's seen what they've done. People have only heard about what they've done.
It's interesting that you say that. As a sports fan, we've all heard these like, you know, crazy numbers that some of these guys used to put up, but because we don't get the chance to see it, we can only go by what our grandparents and our parents would say about some of these people. So you don't realize just how good they are. Like a lot of times we talk about the modern player being, you know, faster, stronger, bigger, whatever. Problem is that somebody like Bill Russell was, you know, literally an Olympic level like athlete. So while we look at it, it's just like certain people could have played in any era. And I think that if you modernize the game, somebody who was what, 6'8", 6'9", that could jump the way that he could, he would have absolutely had a role in the league. Greats will always adjust.
R.I.P.
All right, let's sort of get into it. I'm going to play a clip for us from something that I saw. The Pivot is quickly becoming my favorite thing to watch. Like, I'm not necessarily watching a lot of TV right now, but what I am doing is checking out a lot of different podcasts because I think it's interesting when you see certain people's perspectives. A lot of times, we look at Kevin Hart as being sort of like a joke, right? Like, you know, he's the butt of his own jokes. He laughs at his own pain. He's gone through a lot of stuff from, you know, scandals of cheating on his wife and all of these other things where you could probably be down on him but he never seems to be down on himself. He has mad money coming from Netflix because he stays with either a special or a movie or a limited series that was actually dope. And so I just wanted us to take a look at this clip real quick, and then we were going to break it down and discuss it.
Okay.
All
right? Right now, if I ask you guys to tell me five bands, five music groups that are still together from back in the day, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
Nobody asks themselves why. Why do they all break up?
Money.
Why do they all fucking break up?
Ain't no money?
Why does, I'm just saying, like, that's not a, like, nobody sees this. We ignore it. Why are we the culture that's always behind a nod? This shit ain't work. It ain't working. Now, we ain't that. It ain't. I just heard Deezus and Mero broke up, and I'm a fucking fan of these guys. By the way, the future is so bright for that thing. That IP, that opportunity, that whatever. Then I see him going back and forth on social media with like, what's happening? Why can't we ever surpass or overcome the financial hurdles that present themselves and stay connected? Why can't we do that?
It's called our ego.
That's why you remove it.
Easier said than done in some circumstances.
It's actually not.
In some instances.
But when people say that, right? When they say it's easier said than done, and the ego is very present and dominant, mm-hmm. right? You gotta ask yourself why. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Me and Dwayne Johnson are good friends. You know why our shit works? TJ, I don't give a fuck about titles. I don't give a fuck about number one or number two. TJ, I don't care what that thing is. Like, what, dude, I love working with you.
Right.
You're my guy. I love you, champ. Love you too, Kev. You want to do this thing? Let's make it work. Kev, my company's producing it. You want, dope. I hope you guys knock it out the park. Let me see the materials. If I can help, I can. DJ, I got something that's coming from my company. Hey, do you want me to include you? Do you guys want to co-produce? How do you want to do it? Kev, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Hov, can you sit down with me, man? I got a show. I want to fucking talk to you. Yeah. Hey, man, I got this thing, guys, I'm doing. Chris, man, you should go. What do you think about doing New York together? Fuck it. We can co-headline it. Let's put this shit down the middle. I don't care. Fuck it, Kev. Yeah, let's do it. You think Dave will come to one of the shows? Let's ask him. Dave, what you want to do? Oh, my God, guys, it's great. There's no egos. With real success and real moves, the real ones.
Right.
The real ones, there's no egos. Because collabs are collabs that don't question where I stand and what I am.
Right.
There's nothing about the next person that's going to affect or rock my world. I know I'm Kevin Hart. I don't need you to fucking validate it.
Right.
I don't need that. I have no ego. Yeah. None. I got a fucking tequila. I'm not competing with Dwayne.
Yeah.
It's not me versus him. You bring his bottle out here, I'll be the first to hold it up. I'll be the first to support my guy while I have mine. Because there is no ego. People don't understand that there's so much room for us all. But there's this warped view that there isn't.
I'm going to specifically ask, did anybody see that coming from Kevin Hart?
Not really, because he's a comedian, so he's always joking. So I didn't.
Now, we know Kevin Hart to have a serious team behind him. It's like the same like four or five people that have been rocking with him for a very long time. And that doesn't mean that they don't fight or the fuck shit doesn't happen, but they stick together. Now, you hear him talking about his relationship with people who are equally as famous as him and or more successful. How cool is it that he can champion like Taramana for like The Rock? Or as he says, DJ. How cool is it that he could call Hov and say, hey, like, you know what, man? I'd love for you to get on my show because I'm doing this thing. So much of why I think that we lack success is because the people who happen to usually be in the rooms of these spaces are very scared of losing their position. We honestly act and put ourselves in position as if there's only one that could be it. You hear Eddie Murphy talking about it. Like, yo, when I was that dude, I was the one. in Hollywood. Like, when Chappelle became, like, the dude for comedy, he was the one. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was sort of, like, you know, the next best up. And so I guess I asked the question, and that's to like, you as well, Jeremy. Do you find that it's hard to work with your friends? And, I mean, you're in a space, like, frankly, like, where collaboration is key. Like, you're dope at what you do, right? I'm a program manager. That's what my profession is. I'm not in a creative space. The most creative thing I get the chance to do is sit here on this couch or these chairs or whatever we're sitting on at the time and talk shit with one of my best friends. But how does that impact somebody like you who are in these spaces and you need to have these relationships? Because if you don't have these relationships, frankly, you don't go forward.
So I think, like, the first question is, what is it like to work with your friends and what does collaboration look like, right? I think that working with your friends and collaborating with, having the opportunity to collaborate with your friends is probably one of the dopest things you can do. Like, I'll go to Dow had a shoot in Soho, and me and him were working on a project in Alabama, got on a plane, ended up in Soho, and we're like stopping traffic in Soho, shooting a Michelob commercial that Dio was a head shooter on. But, you know, he had enough influence that the team he put together to shoot that was all of our people. You know what I mean? So what is it like to sit on a set with, you know, people who shoot in Hollywood and shoot in New York and shoot in DC, and we all come together for a project? It's one of the coolest things you can do. Professionally, one of the coolest things you can do. What is, like, from Kevin Hart's perspective, though, like, what does it mean to put ego aside? I mean, like, I think that Kevin Hart can say that because he's almost 50 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that it's something that a 25-year-old should hear. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's like for a 25-year-old to try to do, because I think that's where it comes into. It's easier said than done. And I think that, like, the level of maturity it takes to have the ability to put your ego to the side is, like, a learned trait.
So let's, I'm about to be on my Joe Budden shit and sit here Indian style. Let's rap for a second when we say that, right? Because I'm going to sit up because I'm actually interested in this. Because we're all on the other side of life, like, we're officially middle-aged people, we have the ability to sit here and look at it from that perspective where maybe, you know, the ego involved in it or the team isn't necessarily as important as the I. I don't know if I absolutely agree with that. Like, I think the I has to absolutely be successful, because without the I, you don't necessarily get the chance to provide and do stuff for your team.
Oh, let's not get it tripped up. Like, I think it's a lot easier for him to be like, oh yeah, Hov, this billionaire, I called him up for a favor, and it was cool for him to do that. And DJ, you know, he just bought the XFL, one of the largest, like, entertainment people in the world. He had the time and the ability to help me out together. We all said, hey, let's get this great, because, dude, that's easy to do. You're talking about, like, the biggest heads of entertainment. And in a time where, like, collaboration can only make you money, like, Drake and Meek Mill didn't fight because they hated each other. They did because it made them money. Like, people are getting married because it makes them money. They're dating people because it makes them money. It's all PR, right?
Drake and Meek fought because...
Well, get into the whole thing, but, yeah, like, at the end of the day, like, it made them money. Like, what they were doing is not, like, Brandy and Monica, it made them money. Like, this shit has been going on. So, like, today, like, yeah, anything The Rock and Kevin Hart do is going to make money, because they sell in every single household across the country. So, yeah, I would put my ego aside, too, for dollars. Right? Or no?
I still think there's something to be said about how people can do that, because ultimately speaking, the money might not come, right? Like, we sit here on this pod right now, I could tell you the one check that I got from getting, like, a real ad. Fab got the same ad, but I'm pretty sure that Fab got a lot more money than I did for a said ad, and it was just something that I had to throw in an episode. But, like, even to me, it's like, if this ever took off and, like, blew up, what was the thing I said that I told both of y'all? Yo, I'm taking care of you. I'm taking care of you. I'll figure out the rest with the money. Because for me, it was never about the money. It was always about, like, yo, I get the chance to, like, talk my shit, do something that's cool. Maybe it works as an exit plan and, like, you know, Spotify or one of these other companies want to give us a budget of a couple hundred thousand dollars and we do this shit two times a month or two times a week, like a lot of the other things. Maybe that becomes a thing. And it's like, if it takes off, great. If not, it's still cool because I can say that I did this thing for a long time with people that I cared about or people that I found interesting. And for me, that was enough. Like, I'm successful enough in life that, like, I don't have to look for validation in this. So when Kevin Hart's saying, like, yo, like, I'm fucking Kevin Hart, I feel him on that. Like, ultimately, whether this blows up or the next thing, I can sort of hang my hat on having a good time with a lot of my friends. And that's been super important to me. Like, I want to continue to do stuff because we can't be in the clubs now, right? Like, I don't see him because we go party together. I don't see him because we're playing ball together. I see him because we podcast. We talk about different things that I want to talk about and rap about and what makes sense. And it's a way for us to come around and have that same community. Same thing with you. Like, you've been trying to get me to play you one-on-one for years since I beat you. It's probably never going to happen because I'm going to hold that over your head. Yeah, I love you, but I'm going to hold that over your head because, like, I know that's a thing. But one day, I also told him if he meets some goals, yo, I'm down. We'll get that match in. But that's my thing. Like, we get the chance to come in here, like, every other week, sit down and have community and rap. I think that's necessary, especially now. Like, sometimes we need an outlet. Maybe you need to get away. Yeah, we record and we do this, but then we'll rap about life for the next 30 to 45 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, after the episode is done, days later, yo, you all right? Sometimes you need people to check up on you about stuff like that. So for me, my ego isn't too big to, like, recognize what I have in this. Whether all of my friends show up, whether one of my friends comes through, it's still a place for me to do and get this stuff off. And have a good time and figure some things out. And that's why I don't have an ego when it comes to this podcast thing. Like, I legitimately just want to have a good time rap with my friends.
Yeah, but the problem with that is when you're dealing with multiple people, that's different characteristics. So you can't expect, while you might not have an ego, I might not have an ego, Jeremy ain't got no ego. That's not everybody that you do business with in your, you know, even within your friend circle. You know, that's rare. You know, somebody might have a chip on their shoulder, or the more money you get, just like Kevin Hart was saying about the groups, you know, somebody wants to be bigger than the other person, then money does come into play. And then that's where the ego comes in. It might not be ego in the beginning, but it can grow into that. And then that's the downfall of the whole thing.
So I got friends that make significantly more money than me, right? And we could talk about that shit. I've never been in a situation where I felt that they've either made me feel less than or withheld information that they didn't think that was relevant to maybe help me make more money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether I take their advice or not, they were always there to quote unquote give me the gems that everybody's looking for. Yo, this is what I did to make money. We're in a certain field. Yo, I did this. Yo, I started investing in real estate, doing these things. The next deal, you want in. And I think that that's super important because so often that's not the case with us, bro. Like, if you might be successful, and I'm pointing to Jeremy because Jeremy was that dude. Like, Jeremy made mad money. Like, he's done all of the things and checking off the boxes, but he never came off as somebody who wouldn't be willing to help. You know what I'm saying? I fashion myself the same way. If anybody in this room was to call me up and be like, yo, I need you to do whatever, I'm not too big to fucking pick up a box to help somebody move. If you needed money and I had the money and I could loan it to you, I would do that. But that's what I feel like, that's what makes friendship. And it's not because I'm the, you know, the fucking saint, but, like, I don't have an ego with it.
I think, like, we can sit here and talk about ego, but, like, you're talking about character too, right?
Sure. So,
like, you know, one of my friends, he lived in Charlotte, and he was in this incubator, and he's not a sports dude. Like, he doesn't care about sports, doesn't know about sports. He's like, yeah, this guy, he was real tall, was walking by, I was moving stuff around, he came in, helped me organize my whole thing. And he's like, and then I walked outside, and I saw him on a billboard, and it was Cam Newton, you know? And, like, so Cam Newton had, like, a winery, or had some sort of thing in this incubator, but was walking by and literally took his clothes off, not his clothes off, but, you know, took his jacket off.
Yeah, yeah.
And helped this guy rearrange, sweating, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, that's not what you would necessarily expect from someone that probably is paying people to do work for them, type thing, you know? So like, I think we can sit around and talk about what ego is, but I think what we're talking about is character. So then it's like, you know, the character that you expect the people around you to have is really, in my opinion, what Kevin Hart's talking about. He's saying, I'm at a point in my life where I'm okay doing whatever without ego, and I surround myself with people who do the same thing. That's more what I heard.
So do you still believe that's still based on a certain age that he has?
I think it's based on, I mean, like in this specific,
because yeah, he's 44.
I think it's based on age. I think it's based on what you're able to do. Like, I think that if I had the ability to put 50% of my time into helping other people, I would do that. I don't necessarily have the ability to do that. You know what I'm saying? So is it age for him? I don't know. I think it's what he's capable of doing financially, what he's blessed with being able to do, and then like the people that he chooses to be around.
Okay.
But hold up. But even then, still, the people that he chooses to be around, they just don't. Let's say they don't have egos now, right? Mm-hmm. Who's to say that they don't grow to have egos? Because going back to what he was saying about the groups and stuff like that, sure, when they collaborated in the beginning, nobody probably had egos. They just wanted to get on and make it, right? But as things got bigger and your name got thrown out there, things may have got maybe more competitive, you know, your characteristics might have changed, and you might feel like, oh, all right, I'm more prideful, you know, I got an ego now, I might want to break this up, you know, so I can level up and get my own bag.
I mean, then you got lawyers. Like, lawyers got egos. So, like, I might not have an ego, but my lawyer might have a big ego, right? And so, like, the whole let's chop it down the middle, let's do it and figure it out later, like, from a business perspective, like, it's easy to say those things. In my opinion, it's kind of hard to do those things because figuring it out later means what? You know what I mean? And it means what when someone owns something, or it means what when some, you know, when there's no leverage. So, like, I don't know. I think that's the thing that's tough for me.
Yeah.
I think that's a capitalism statement, though, bro.
It is, 100%. So, and it's I think a legal capitalist statement.
But that's where the problem comes in, right? Like, money becomes so important to all of us that we're willing to throw away a good thing. We look at Jesus and Mero, right? That's an example that he gave. They've had problems back and forth, apparently, for a while now. They clearly have something that's huge. Everybody keeps paying them more and more money every single time for them to do this. But instead of us worrying about, you know what, how do we keep this train going, we find a way to let something like split us up.
Well,
here's because something that I can tell y'all for a fact. They will not be as successful apart as they were together.
Maybe not, but one of them feels like the other's probably replaceable. I mean, look at the Button podcast, right? They left. He got two people in there. He still... He might have lost some viewers, or maybe he didn't lose, but, you know, it's still thriving, and he replaced them. I mean, think about what they do in, like, let's say, some groups, man, like Temptations or something like that.
It's hard to be Destiny's Child, bro.
I feel
make
you.
Number ones and keep
going. I understand
it's
that.
It's extremely hard to
I
be
understand
Destiny's
that,
Child.
But Temptations, you got...
Before my era, I don't know what happened. Did they make a movie about that?
Bro, but they switched out people. They've switched out people. Okay, fine. Drew Hill. They got a bunch of people in Drew Hill now.
Yeah, but them niggas ain't really successful.
But it doesn't matter, though. I'm not saying
their
success.
Their window of run was very limited. We got them from what? Like, maybe like 96 to like 02?
I get what you're saying, but when the ego or something happens and people feel like, all right, well, I don't want it to be... Cisco and them instead of Drew Hill, or I don't want it to be Destiny's Child. I wanted to be Destiny's Child instead of Beyonce and them, because that's what we looked at. We looked at the person that was bigger than everybody and was like, all right, well, that's the key person I'm gonna focus on. So they might be like, all right, well, she might have an ego, so yeah, I'm done with this. It might not work for them no more, you know. And surely if they was all in the group together, they were friends or on some type of level, you would hope. But it didn't work out no more. I mean, some people feel like you could just replace the person and then that's it in business.
People are absolutely replaceable at a time. But the one thing you really can't replace is chemistry. some stuff just works because it does. And we try to define it or figure out different ways, you'll never understand it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some friendships work. Like, the three of us, yo, we are not the same at all. Right? There are not two more people in the world that I trust than the two of y'all. Like, we got another one of our homies here, right? Our lifestyles are completely different. I did my thing one way, he did his thing another way, you do your thing another way. Yet again, our friendship works. Every time he has a crazy, like, success, what do? Bro, that's fucking dope, man. Like, I want to be like you when I grow up, right? Like, you are fucking killing it. That's what you do with your friends. Like, you don't have to be the same person, but you gotta be able to celebrate people and understand that everybody's role in a group ain't always the same.
Well, that's because not everybody wants to see everybody win, whether it's in your circle or not. It's a lot of hate. When that happens, it's game over.
Bars. Bars. I feel like you really wanted to read something from the book today.
I did want to say something, you know. I mean, like, what we're talking right now is ego. And, like, so many times, like, ego just is the end of us. It's the end of us. Like, to that pocket in D.C. where my man caught his death at. Over the years, I've been seeing Brooks took him by the night, lose that crown for trying to defend a queen. And, like, I just look at it, it's like the ego in this place, in this moment, like, with friends can be the end of us. But, like, on the street, walking down the street in D.C., like, it could be the end of us there, too. Just because, like, we want to put our ego in front of what we know is good for us. And what we know for good is good for us could be this podcast. It could be this opportunity that we let our ego get in front of us at.
I'll keep it a buck, right?
Yeah, man.
Story time. It's the truth. I used to have a 1999 Nissan Maxima that was blue. You couldn't tell me that my car wasn't dope. Had the Bose system in it, leather, climate control, all of this shit, and that was my college car. I thought it was fire. I remember one day I went to go pick my man Just up. I don't know what we were supposed to do. His name is Justice. Salute to him. But we call him Just because black people shorten everything.
Facts.
I picked Just up one day. I need to go get gas. Go to the gas station. There's like some random kid who spits like in front of my car. I don't feel like it was at my direction, but he spits in front of my car. Just, being Just at the time, was ready to beat dude's ass for what he thought was disrespect. Now, 22-year-old Justice was about that life, right? 40-year-old Justice still wouldn't be somebody that I'd play with like that, but he has a completely different perspective of things. Now it's like, all right, let's talk about these things. He has something to lose. So you could look at that as being like ego-driven when he was 22, or you could look at it like the way that I do. Everybody gets something to lose by the time they get to the age that we have, right? Kevin Hart's thing might be like, you know what? It's much more important for me to have this friendship with DJ than it is for me to like be like, yo, I get the number one billing on our movie. It's much more important for me to be cool with these people because, like, the money's gonna come regardless, so I'ma just go ahead and do that. That, I mean, and that could be speaking to your point earlier, but for me, it's much more cool to just be, yo, I am kicking it with my friends today. I don't give a fuck about the money shit. Like, and I get it, like, me saying money will work itself out is some shit that you say when you don't make money doing something. Lots of truth in that. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here right now. Let's say that this shit takes off. Do you absolutely believe or do you know that I'm gonna take care of you when this shit does that? Or do you think I'm gonna be like, nah, fuck that nigga? And that's an honest question.
Nah, all right, so I do believe that you would take care of everybody. But that's a character question. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? But like what I'm saying is that like when you are dealing with enterprises, right? Because like when we talk about Kevin Hart, we are not talking about a man. We are talking about an enterprise.
Yeah, he's not a business. He's a businessman.
Wayne Johnson, we're not talking
about. Yeah, he's no longer just a business. It's a businessman.
He's an enterprise. Yeah. Like there are people that work for him. There's legal departments that sign off on everything that happens. Like all of that, right? What I'm saying is that like at some point, like there's a legal platform, like a legal floor that has to be looked at. That's all I'm saying. So it's easy.
So the law gets in the way.
It's like, oh, like it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fine. Everything's split. And like, I don't know that that's always the case, right?
I mean, to his point earlier, Joe Budden and his people thought that the same thing was gonna happen. They didn't get the percentages that they thought they were owed, and that's essentially what broke them up. We could talk about anything else. It was about money.
Mm-hmm.
Money breaks people up. Joe is like, yo, I'm the headliner, right? Like, I gave us a leg up because when we started this podcast, I already had a couple hundred thousand viewers on YouTube because I was doing this for years. So now that I wanted to start pushing to this and I reactivated my channel, we already had a built-in subscriber base. That's a thing.
It's different kind of number ones. Like Kevin Hart is a different kind of number one than the rest of these people are.
Totally,
right?
Totally. Yeah. He doesn't have a number two on his team. He's the one. But like 99% of what's coming in is because of him.
But that's what I'm saying.
Not even his team, but just like the industry. Like there's who's number two to Kevin Hart in comedy?
Maybe Chris Rock. Maybe. Yeah. Because I'd put Chappelle one, Kevin Hart's probably two, Chris Rock's probably still third.
But I don't, like, so like I get what we're doing with Dave Chappelle and respect and stuff, but like I don't think Dave Chappelle is like a true one. I mean, and not like not as a hot take. I'm just saying like when if you say like there's a blockbuster movie, like who's gonna get paid the most money to be in it? Kevin Hart. Like if you need a funny comedic guy, like he's the number one movie guy. That's all.
But if you want an actual comedy special, who's getting the most money?
Oh yeah,
Chappelle.
Yeah, Letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I can agree with that.
But it's still back to the ego thing because it's like, all right, let's go back to the Budden thing. It's called the Joe Budden Podcast, right?
That shit was intentional,
bro. I understand, but at some point,
because it started out as we'll name this podcast later.
I get you, but it's like. He didn't look at them as his employees, but you can't look at them as getting a fair percentage if it's not called something. All right, Francis, what is your podcast called?
The Railroad.
Right. Who the hell is Rail?
Me.
Exactly. So you blow up. Why would I think I would get, why would my ego or my pride think I should get a bigger percentage or equal percentage of you when it's called The Railroad?
That's real.
This is your baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you saying, okay, it blow up, I'm taking care of y'all. Cool. Appreciate you. But it got your name on it.
That's just because I pay off the money for it, like, now. But I hear you.
But, okay, that's the same thing Budden does, though.
I hear you.
Right?
Yeah, he made the investments.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
He made the investments just like you did. All right, I'm going to snatch my friends in and bring them in the same way he did. These were his personal friends. Still has his name on it. Same way it has your name on it. Them thinking they should get equal amount, that don't make sense. That's where their pride and ego came in at,
and that led to the downfall.
Because at the end of the day, he got them making more money than they was making before.
That's true.
You think if you say yeah, I got some sponsorship, I'm gonna throw you this bag, you think I'm gonna get mad? That's a bag that I didn't have 1 minute before you told me the damn information. The hell with my goddamn ego. I'm smart. Shit, let's get this bag.
I feel like I'd see things the same way. Because let's say Jeremy brings an opportunity to us and it's like, yo, here's the deal. I'm not looking to be like, yo, so because this is my shit, I need the most money. Nah, like, yo, just make this shit make sense, bro. Like, if that pays for us to, like, be able to sit here and do pod shit, cool. I'm with it.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking like, Jeremy got a bigger cut, so nah, fuck that nigga. No, bro, that's to your point. That's more money than we have for podcasting than like I ever knew. So why am I tripping?
Bro, I'm not even about to ask what the cut is.
But is that like, there was something that I saw recently, and I think it was Juelz said it, crazy enough. Juelz was like, there's a difference between loyalty and stupidity. And a lot of people sort of confuse the two. Are you being stupid by not asking what that percentage would be? Or is that just being loyal?
Stupid along what lines, though? Like, at the end of the day, you're not going to cheat yourself, right? But if somebody said, hey, I'm going to give you this percentage to do this work. At the end of the day, look at what we're doing and look at what they're doing. You're sitting on the fucking couch talking with your friends, getting paid for the shit. How many times do you talk to your friends and get paid nothing?
A lot. We rap all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Come on now. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, all right, you don't want to cheat yourself. I get it. That's being stupid. But I mean, be loyal to the situation. At the end of the day, I ain't the only friend you got. You could have asked another friend to come in and do this shit. Be, you know what I mean? Take the opportunity. And then come to somebody the proper way. Like, hey, you don't have to ask their percentage. Be like, oh, okay, you know, what the numbers looking like? You know, you think I could probably get an increase? Oh, and then, you know what I'm saying? Talk it out. I don't think they talked their situation out, which kind of just led to them just going their own way.
I'll keep it a buck, though, bro. I think that perspective is probably coming from a privileged place, right?
Sure.
Like, and you knowing in your heart of hearts, I'm not going to cheat you over some shit. That's a whole difference if you did that, like, same scenario with somebody else. Maybe you don't think that. Because I know people personally who, I don't trust them for that type of shit. Like, if it came down to, like, me and them, they are absolutely going to fuck me over.
Yeah, okay, but cool.
And people do business with people like that all of the time. But,
all right, cool. Those were his two close friends, right? We talking about Button. Those were his two close friends. Do you think he thought, or they thought when they got into the situation with the pod, that he was going to fuck them over? Or maybe he didn't fuck them over, but what I'm saying is, do you think that they thought that something along those lines was going to happen to the point where they were going to have to go their own way?
Nah, of course not.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why they were cool to Jeremy's point with, we'll work it out later.
But that's what I'm saying. But at some point.
Yeah, the bill comes due.
Right. So while it didn't start with them having the ego, somebody grew the ego, you know, later, which is what happens with groups. Somebody going to get an ego and be like, oh, I deserve this. I deserve that. Let me get this, what you making. And sometimes it ain't even worth all that, because if he hadn't gave you the opportunity, then what? Always appreciate the opportunity that you get.
But that sounds like some record label-ish, if I'm honest. Man, I say that because, like, Diddy is like, yo.
Diddy and the May stuff?
Yeah. If I say take that on an album, and I now get, like, 35% of your publishing, that's a fucking thing. And I introduce you to the world, so I'm owed your 35% of your publishing for however long that is. Like, personally, I don't feel comfortable doing, like, one of my friends like that. Or people that I'm supposed to consider family. Right? Like, Diddy will say, like, nah, this was a business. Yo, Bad Boy Family. Like, people are very predatory in the way that they say things to build you up so that they can take advantage of you.
I don't know enough about it. But, like, Mace was one of how many people?
That got taken advantage of.
No, but was one of how many people?
A lot.
And how many of these people panned out? So, like, just from a business perspective, if I'm Diddy back in the day, I'm like, there's 500 people. 10% of these people are going to make it, but they're all getting roughly the same shit so that I can cover my ass. Like, that's business. So, like, why is it bad business if a percentage of them panned out and he got paid a percentage of what they were owed? Because they're friends? Like, he gave them a platform and a vehicle to make money on that they didn't have otherwise.
So, part of me understands that, but should I, because you gave me a platform, should I then have to pay you in perpetuity for that?
Yes, like that's what you're getting the platform for. Like, nah, that is bro. The cost of the platform.
Nah.
You could go somewhere else.
Nah. No? I don't subscribe to that.
I'm not, like, saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying, like, if you have the same expectations as what the outcomes are going to be.
So dicking people just because that's good business, that should be something we do?
If you take a loan out from a bank and then you're like, I don't like the interest rate I have on my loan, whose fault is that?
Yours, but you also have the ability to pay the bank back at a faster rate. Like, one of the reasons why we fuck ourselves over specifically with loans and shit is because it's like, oh, they gave me 60 months to pay this back? Cool. I'll take that high APR and do this over 60 months. If I paid it back in 2 months, the interest rate don't hit the same. And I'm not saying that that's okay, but, like, you have the ability to pay that debt off a lot sooner.
You know going into it, that's what it is.
Yeah, and you're fucked, right.
That's all.
Right. I think that, like, in a lot of situations, like...
You might have had bad advice. You might have had bad counsel. Like, maybe you didn't understand the terms of the deal. Maybe you didn't read the deal. I don't know.
Capitalism has a way of fucking people. And I specifically know that, like, especially in, like, the industry we're talking about, like, the music industry... You're right. The thing that you said, we're going to sign 10X. One of you guys are going to blow. So we're hoping that the profits from the one guy that blows covers all of our losses from the nine other ones that didn't, while also allowing me to make a bunch of money and have a lifestyle too. But it's not a coincidence to me that Diddy is significantly more successful than any of his artists.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that he shouldn't like be that dude or get credit. Nah, he should absolutely get that. But there's a reason that he's a billionaire and most of the people that work for him or under him never attain that kind of like financial status. There's some exploitation there that goes on that we don't address enough. And again, we do that under the guise of that's good business. So if like just said like, yo, I got this thing. You put in like 50 grand, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna buy this building. And when I flip this 50 grand that you made with whatever I got, I'm going to make $1 million, but I'm going to give you your initial 50 back plus like, let's say like 20 grand. Even though he made like, you know what I'm saying? Even though he knew the deal, had all of that stuff and knew how that was going to work, but decided, you know what? This is what I'm going to do so that I can make this money. We wouldn't look at that as being like, we would look at that as a good business move, but from a like, you wouldn't expect your friends to treat you like that. And well, I think that's the problem.
Well, maybe that's the difference though. Because we're talking about Just, so that's our friend. Of course he wouldn't do that. We're talking about Diddy and Mace. They weren't friends. It was a business move. So the only thing Mace could do is
either take the deal or not.
Take the deal or not, or sue. Once he's already in the shit. You know what I mean? Be like, all right, well, this ain't what you said you was gonna do. Let me get my paper back, or let me get my masters back, or let me get this. You know what I'm saying? They weren't friends. So what loyalty do you really have to somebody that you just found on the street and say, hey, I gave you this opportunity?
Like here's a good example. I have to do this campaign, and part of the campaign is work for hire. So as a photographer, you don't necessarily want to give your rights away to images or anything like that. But there's 40 images that I need to provide them, and that's what is considered the work for hire. They could easily turn around and license that image to someone else, and I'm only getting paid what I'm getting paid on this contract. And they could easily go to a corporation, probably get paid a lot of money for it. But like, I'm walking into this saying, I get to say I did work with this organization, I get to get this bag, and I get to do this work next week. You know what I mean? And so, like, to me, it's like, I'll never make money on those pictures again. And if they sell that picture to Amazon and it goes on a billboard, and in my mind, I'm like, someone made 60 grand on that image, like, I have to be okay with it because I'm walking into this knowing what it is. And I'm doing business with people I know. They started a hiring agency, and, like, I would consider them, like, professional acquaintances type thing. But like, it's business, and that's just the terms. So like, to me, like, that's, it's kind of the same thing.
So business is business.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I'll like sort of end this with, do we sort of like subscribe to the theory of like crabs in a barrel when it comes to black people? Because it feels like that's a lot of what Kevin Hart was also sort of trying to say in that clip, right? Where if somebody is trying to make it out, you see other people pulling down on them. And again, that leads into like the ego conversations. I'm bigger than the group. So even though like the group is doing great, I'm doing better than all of y'all. So unless y'all recognize my power, I can't do this thing. Is that a real thing for black people? Or is that just a real thing for people? Because I don't think it's necessarily black owned, but it's definitely a thing for people because of capitalism. I'm down on capitalism at this point.
I wouldn't say just black people though. I wouldn't say just black people.
Okay.
Because it's been a lot of groups and stuff. I mean, we're talking about egos. We're talking about character. We're talking about growth. Right? So we all have to deal with that at some point in time. We all hope that we grow to a different level from last year. Right? So your decision making gets a little bit different. And as far as the race thing, we've seen it happen to all types of groups with bands and business. It can happen to anybody. I don't think it's race related, honestly.
Somebody's always the superstar, or they believe they are.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
NSYNC ain't NSYNC no more.
That's true.
I don't know who Backstreet Boys' big person was, but they.
I don't either. But that's what I'm saying.
I loved En Vogue as a child.
But did all them groups break up?
Yeah.
Could have been. So money and ego came, and they're not black.
Well, NSYNC. I mean, En Vogue was, but yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, En Vogue. But I'm talking about NSYNC and Backstreet. That I mean. Right.
But Justin. Well,
Backstreet.
Yeah, yeah, Justin blew up.
Of course. And them other dudes, you don't know.
I don't know their names.
Yeah, I don't know their names. I don't know what the hell they're doing. So that's what I'm saying. Once he got big enough to branch off, either they said the hell with him, he's getting too big, or he said the hell with him because I'm too big.
So what I'm saying is you're gonna lead a pod once you like take off. They're gonna be like, yo, we like the dude with the voice, dresses well. Always he always matched, has the fit. You know what I'm saying?
Had no loyalty to anybody.
He's gonna be like, yo, I'm out. Like, y'all gave me the platform, now I'm about to shine.
But here's the thing though. We don't know their story. I don't know how they know each other.
Nah, I feel like you're skipping over the question though, bro.
Bro, you're getting the answer to the question by hearing what I'm saying. If everybody in this room, if we're all friends, that might be different from their situation. Of course, I wouldn't do it because I consider everybody a good friend of mine. However, I don't know their situation. Justin might not have, somebody might have put them together. At that point, yeah, okay, he could sing. Meshed them together, made a group. There ain't no loyalty amongst people when there's some damn money involved and they're not your friends.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you, right? And I'm leaning into the mic so that you hear this part. If you absolutely got a good deal, I would never tell you to turn that down. And that's as my friend. Like, I'd be like, yo, it's cool. Like, if we went to a certain level and you can go higher and further, fuck, hire me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I mean, I'll do some stuff with you, but like, ego's not too big to think that like you can't be that dude. I want that for you. So I think a lot of times,
you got to understand though, a better opportunity for me would still mean a better opportunity for you because you're supposed to pull your brother up.
Agreed. But even if you couldn't, I would absolutely support a move where you became that dude if that put you in a good space.
Nope.
And to me, I think that's what was really dope about Kevin Hart is that he's like, I have a tequila brand. Like, I have a brand. Like, I have a brand.
That part, right.
And he's like, and he comes out with something, like, I would hold his shit up. And I'm like, that's something where, like, too many people are concerned with what their image or what their brand or what they're doing is. That they think that there isn't room for more than one person doing it. You know what I mean?
Or exactly.
The notion that, like, what's right for you is right for me. That's not the case. What's right for me isn't right for you. And so, like, acknowledging that and figuring out how to support your friends through things that are right for them. Just like,
oh, we think that there's a finite number of things that can either pop and that everybody can't get on. And the truth of the matter is that's not true. It's too many people in the world.
We all
could.
Yeah.
But there's this belief that like, yo, if you get on, I can't get on. If you get on, I can't get on. Nah, we literally all can get on.
I mean, if somebody offered me, just like he said, if somebody said, okay, you got to branch off and do your own thing. And you say, yeah, bro, go do your own thing. You think I'm not going to shout? All right, yeah, well, I got this podcast, but on my damn podcast, I'm going to say, yo, I got my own shit, but y'all better still check out the real world.
That's what friends are for.
I think, like, to another extent, like, not anyways.
I feel like you was about to preach.
I was really
focused on this. You've gotten so good over the last few weeks, bro. Like,
man, I guess I'll say it. I forgot. I really forgot. I had something in my head, that's and true. Then like,
it's okay.
The Jay-Z book is closed.
Got a case of the buttons. Forgetting. We getting old, bro.
Yeah.
You know, recently, like, I had somebody tell me that they thought that I was trying to be too young.
Cause you paint your corners.
That's absolutely not true. I will say that to anybody, my hair is my hair. I could take showers, I could get in the pool, and it still stays like that. But it was because I started wearing earrings again. And I stopped wearing earrings at like, I don't know, like maybe like 2014 or so.
What does that have to do with anything?
I guess it gave me the appearance that I'm trying to be young. Like, remember when I was working around with them like joints that was like 1.75 carats?
Bro,
couldn't tell me nothing.
That's just...
Then we got the black earrings, and we were like, hella blacked out.
I never got the black diamonds.
Who the hell told you that? It was a female or male?
It was a female. It was a woman. But then I'd be wearing, like, the little short shorts. Like, I'd be doing all that shit. Like, so.
The 5-inch inseams?
Yeah, I'd be doing that shit, bro. But, like, no disrespect, like, my grandfather used to do that shit in the 80s. So, like.
That's because they wore their pants up to their belly buttons. Like, there's a difference.
He didn't do that, but I hear you. He did not do that. My grandfather was cooler than that, but I hear you. But they did not wear stuff at their waist the way that we do.
Yeah, I don't know about that trying to be young thing, but, you know, that's on them.
Yeah, they be all right. Any final words from anybody that's in the room before we get out of here? Jeremy, Darren.
No, I'm just saying, I think what Kev said was pretty important. You know, I think we should all follow that and, you know, try to keep your friends close, you know.
I really appreciate the fact that, like, you're the fifth person that I've gotten that video from. So the fact that, like, I look around at, like, the people that I consider to be really close to me and my life and what I do professionally, and that everybody is sharing that same message, like, I think it speaks really well to something that goes viral.
I thought that was the best thing that I've ever seen from Kevin Hart. That is my truest statement. I've sent it to a few of my friends who, again, were all in very similar situations. Again, people that are super successful, maybe not as successful as I am. Didn't matter. I just thought that, like, team is so important. And a lot of times, this is a way that we're going to sort of highlight that. So, salute to Kevin Hart for that. Like, you know, from him talking about, at least on that podcast, him not worrying about things that people were saying about him, him only really being beholden to his wife, like, that shit was big. That was an amazing interview. I will say this, though. I end every podcast saying the same thing. Ball players on a rap, rappers on a ball. My name is Darrell of Darrell World, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.